Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The mission of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, VA, was born from the immortal words of Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address: "To care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and orphan." The Veterans Health Administration, VHA, embodies the promise of a grateful nation in the form of the quality of care that veterans have earned through their service and sacrifices. Although the covenant with veterans is immutable, healthcare evolves, and so must VHA. In the late 1990s, VHA evolved from a hospital-centric model to become a delivery system, offering exemplary, measured performance in a range of healthcare settings. Today, the triple aim for better health, better care, and better value represents the aspiration of all health systems. In contrast to the private sector, in which the payment models limit the ability to address health other than as derivative of care delivery, the breadth of VA and VHA services offers the ability to address health in the broadest sense of well-being. This means that VHA is ideally positioned for another transformation. VHA can evolve from an organization around provider functions to a truly integrated network of services organized around veteran needs. What are the strategic priorities of VHA? What is VHA doing to improve its organizational performance? And how is VHA promoting a positive culture of service? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Dr. David Shulkin, Undersecretary for Health, the Veterans Health Administration, at the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. So, Dr. Shulkin, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Also joining us from IBM is Mark Newsom. Mark, welcome, as
always.
Thank
you. Great to be here.
So, Doctor, can we start off with some basics? Would you provide an overview of the history and mission of the Veterans Health Administration?
Well, the Veterans Health Administration is actually a long history. It actually started with Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, where he committed to a responsibility of the citizens of this country to take care of those who borne the battle. And it really is that original statement by Lincoln in his second inaugural address that is on the side of the building of VA and something we see every day when we walk in the doors, our commitment to take care of those who have served our country.
So operationally, how is VHA organized, the services it provides, the size of your budget, number of folks who work with you, and its geographical footprint?
Well, it's something that I'm not sure everybody realizes. The VA is the largest integrated delivery system in the country. It's the only system in the country that has the responsibility for delivering care to every nook and cranny of the country where a veteran lives, even if we don't have healthcare facilities. So we have the responsibility not only of providing services in VA medical centers, but in providing services in the community and working with community healthcare organizations to make sure veterans get what they need. Our budget annually is approximately, just for healthcare, about $65 billion. We're the second largest government organization, only following the Department of Defense in size and scope. We have in the health administration about 330,000 employees and over 1,200 facilities across the country. So it's a very big national organization.
You've provided us with the sense of the large organization. Perhaps you could tell us more about your area and specific role. What are your responsibilities and duties under the, as the Undersecretary for Health at VA and the leader of the Veterans Health Administration? How do you support the overall mission of the VA?
Well, as the Undersecretary, I really am the chief executive of the health administration. And it's traditionally been a physician who has led the health administration. The role of the Undersecretary is a complex role in that it is a political appointee. So there are many aspects of the role to make sure that we are advocating both the strategic direction but also the resource needs that we need with members of Congress and certainly with the White House. there is a component of the organization that is a operational component. As a chief executive running an organization this size, making the decisions that are necessary to provide the type of quality of care that we need to serve veterans. And then there's a component of the organization that's really identifying and addressing the needs of its 330,000 employees to support the staff to have the tools and resources that they need to deliver the care to veterans.
So, you know, regarding your duties and responsibilities and the breadth and depth of your efforts, what would you say are your, say, three top management challenges that you've faced in your role, and what have you sought to address those?
Well, when I came into the role, and again, this is something that people may not realize, it took a year to vet me and to get my confirmation first vetted so that the president nominated me, and then secondly, to get confirmation from the U.S. Senate. So I had a long period of time in which to think about what I would do coming into the organization. And so I had, as an outside observer reading the newspaper and listening to the coverage, I had established five priorities, thinking that when I got into VA, I would learn and see what really happened inside the VA and probably change those priorities. But as it turned out, I didn't change a word of them. So I've been maintaining my focus on five priorities that are important to essentially transform the VA healthcare system. The first is to fix the access issues in healthcare, the real crisis that led towards where VA faced itself when I came into the organization, making sure it could provide good access for veterans who needed its help. The second is to focus on the employees and to make sure that they felt passionate about the work they were doing and they had the tools that they needed. And this was a big challenge and still remains a challenge for me in finding the right leaders to step up and to lead my healthcare organizations around the country. The third was to transform VA from being separate VA medical centers to actually acting as an integrated enterprise across the country, where we take best practices from one VA and make sure that they're spread throughout the country. The fourth was to work with our community providers, those that are academic affiliates and those who help us by providing care in the community, to form an integrated network with VA, what I call a high-performance network, where we can begin to start having seamless transitions of care between VA and the community. And the last and most important is really what I call our currency. Since we don't operate with a stock price and we don't operate by financial gains, our currency is really the trust of those that we serve, of the veterans. And clearly, in the wait time crisis that happened in April 2014, we lost a lot of confidence and trust. And so it's really my objective to build that trust back up with our veterans.
You mentioned your challenges. Along with challenges you've encountered, leading the effort under your charge can also be fraught with unanticipated or unexpected surprises. To that end, what has surprised you most since taking on your current role?
Well, I think what has surprised me most is actually how much of the system really works well, the passion and commitment of our employees and staff. Many people have an impression of government workers going home at 5 o'clock and just putting in minimal effort. There's nothing further from the truth. These are some of the most dedicated and committed professionals that I've ever had a chance to work with in my career. So that was one of the pleasant surprises. I think the complexity of the organization and our interface with the requirement to get so many legislative changes to get things done was somewhat of a surprise. I think that we've been fortunate in that we've had the support of both our House and Senate leaders in doing what's right for veterans. But as everybody can see, it's a challenge for the legislative branch to get things passed through Congress as well. So it's been slower than I'd hoped. I know that many people share that. I think that we're headed in the right direction. I'm pleased with the proposals that we've made, but I'd certainly like to see us move these changes quicker through Congress.
So, Dr. Shulkin, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? Maybe give us an overview of your career path. What brought you to your current role?
Well, I'd like to think that everything that I've done in my career has in some way prepared me to take on this role, because this is clearly a very challenging role that requires not only an understanding of healthcare, but an understanding of how policy is developed, an understanding of how to transform large organizations. And I do think that I draw upon each of those skill sets that I've learned from different parts of my career. I'm an internist by background. I still continue to see patients. I've always felt that that is an important part of helping me do my job better, to understand what the frontline staff are facing. And so I view myself primarily first as a physician and second as an administrator or as a leader of an organization. Following my training in internal medicine, I got advanced training in health outcomes research at the University of Pennsylvania. So I tend to look at things in a scientific point of view. I'm very focused on outcomes of healthcare because that's my foundational training. I went on early in my career to be the University of Pennsylvania's first chief medical officer at a time that physician leadership was just really beginning to enter into the administrative parts of healthcare. And I felt strongly that if you didn't have a physician's voice or a clinician's voice in the development of the way our healthcare system was moving, which was clearly more towards developing utilization controls and developing outcome measures and quality metrics, that it was very important to have that voice in those decisions. So I started my career along a management tract and had an opportunity after leaving the University of Pennsylvania after a decade to start a startup company. So I moved into my basement, much to my wife's chagrin, and started a company. This company was the first in the country to try to take quality metrics and translate them to consumers so that consumers could actually pick doctors and hospitals based upon quality, not upon costs or other issues. So I had my experience as a startup entrepreneur and then went back into healthcare as a academic, actually became chairman of medicine and dean, vice dean of a medical school, Drexel University, and then ultimately was offered my first opportunity to lead an organization, the CEO at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York City, which was a great experience to have your own organization to set the strategic direction. And then most recently, I was the CEO of Morristown Medical Center in northern New Jersey when I received a call whether I'd be willing to come in to help out the VA.
So, you know, with your unique position as a physician, as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, what are the characteristics in your mind of an effective leader? And what leadership lessons have you learned that you've brought to the VA culture?
One of the cultural challenges of VA and one of the realities that we face being in a crisis is that VA had to change the way it was doing business. And one of the attributes that I bring, of course, is that I'm coming from the private sector. So many of the ways that VA had been doing business, I had the opportunity to take a fresh look at it with a set of new eyes. And so part of the leadership lesson that I've been bringing is that what's happening within government, what's happening in the VA, is actually not that different than what's happening in the private sector. And what I remind people is, if there's a hospital CEO who's not completely reevaluating their business model and looking at doing things differently, they're not going to be in their jobs long. And we in government have to think about it the same way. So we have to be looking at the private sector and seeing what practices and changes they're making, and then bring that into VA. It may be translated slightly different than if you're in the private sector, but ultimately, changing to be more accountable for outcomes and results is something that is a seamless fit between whether you're in government or out in the private sector. Leadership is multifaceted. I've had the great fortune of being able to work under many great leaders. And I like to think that I've picked the things that I've liked and disliked about each of those leaders and tried to bring them into my own style. But the essence of leadership, I think, is being able to set priorities and a clear vision. and then ultimately to be able to communicate it clearly. So it's very difficult to be a strong, good leader if you're not a good communicator. And the more complex an organization, sometimes it requires the ability to prioritize more and to narrow the message to really be able to get it to connect with your frontline people. So that's the essence of leadership. It, of course, assumes that you have good judgment, that you have the ability to see both near-term and far-term, to set short-term courses and long-term strategic direction. And it assumes that you understand the business that you're in. But once you do that, I think what really differentiates leaders is their ability to prioritize and communicate.
What are VHA's strategic priorities? We will ask Dr. David Shulkin, Undersecretary for Health at VHA, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.